affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid, 30-second warn, Mark.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Thank God it's Monday. Slog through the weekend. Great to be back. This is the little dust-up we like to call Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, well, where to start? When you're a congressman, you live a pretty decent life. When you're a member of the House of Representatives, you make something on the order of $160,000 a year. You fly all over creation. You've got mobile offices. You've got a nice place to live in Washington, D.C., probably a nice place to live back in your district. If you get sick, you have behind you the very best for-pay commercial health care system that America has to offer. You have a pension that is rivaled by none. And yet, if you are certain members of the House of Representatives who happen to be Republicans, it's not enough. It's simply not enough. And since it's not enough, you use a position of power. Say, oh, I don't know, how about head of one of the committees that controls defense contracts for the Pentagon? How about that? You use that to enrich yourself further. At least that's what Randy Cunningham did. Randy Duke Cunningham, a member of Congress from San Diego, California. It is said that he is the character upon whom the movie Top Gun was based. Did you hear me taking my sunglasses off and putting them back on? Because Top Gun was a movie about sunglasses. I'm serious. I'm taking my sunglasses off. I've made my point. I'm putting them back on. Duke Cunningham was allegedly the inspiration for the movie Top Gun. He shot down 5 MiGs in Vietnam. And he was a hero. And that wasn't enough. And $160,000 a year on the taxpayer dole wasn't enough. And the best health care in the world wasn't enough. And the best pension in the world wasn't enough. trips hither, thither, and yon wasn't enough. Power like unto that of a demigod wasn't enough. More money, more money, more money. Randy Duke Cunningham got busted today. Randy Duke Cunningham, godless, soulless, motherless Republican, got busted today, as dirty as the rest of the Republican thieves. But he got busted, and he came clean and said so.
When I announced several months ago that I would not seek re-election, I publicly declared my innocence. Because I was not strong enough to face the truth, so I misled my family, friends, staff, colleagues, the public, and even myself.
Oh, he misled himself. How about that? Now, see, where's that personal responsibility? I misled myself. Aw, damn, I misled myself. What you're going to hear in these comments from Congressman Cunningham are not the words of a contrite individual, but rather the words of a caught one. They are the howling squeals of the proverbial stuck pig. Cut two.
The truth is, I broke the law, concealed my conduct, and disgraced my office.
Yes, you did, Randy. Duke, you sure did. You disgraced your office. But then again, you've disgraced your office since the day you entered it, you filthy Republican. Cut three.
I know that I will forfeit my freedom, my reputation, my worldly possessions, most importantly...
Wait for it. Get a hanky.
The trust.
Yeah, the trust.
Of my friends and family.
Oh! It just kills you, doesn't it? You'll notice that before he got to the trust of his friends and family, he noticed he mentioned the forfeiture of his worldly possessions. What comes first in Randy Duke Cunningham's world? Now, you have to understand the genesis of this whole affair in order to see just exactly how filthy, how truly gut-level Republican it is. This guy had control over who got what in the way of Pentagon procurement. He had the Pentagon's purse strings in his chubby little fists. And in so having them, he was amenable, shall we say, amenable to a little help now and then. In particular, help from an up-and-coming defense contractor called MZM, run by someone named Mitchell Wade. And he, Mitchell Wade, purchased Randy Duke Cunningham's house from him for an inflated price and then turned around and sold the house at a loss. A $700,000 loss, an almost three-quarters of $1 million loss. Cunningham turned around and bought himself a brand spanking new $2.5 million mansion. There are other mentions of Cunningham receiving a Rolls Royce, antiques, of his daughter's graduation party being paid for out of MZM's pockets. This is a dirty, filthy, ugly little man. And a few months ago, when it began coming to light, all the Republicans, "Oh, this is just a witch hunt." No, sorry, this isn't a stained blue dress. This is public corruption at its highest level. We'll delve into it a little deeper when we get back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's lonely here in outer space. The nearest stars are miles away, but I believe I'm on to something big. I've only come to not be found.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged onto energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 17 and a half minutes after the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone number is, of course, 304-658-3333, 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com or my lovely wife behind the board, Agnes, at headonradio.com. Randy Duke Cunningham, and you know that Duke was his fighter pilot name, don't you? Randy Duke Cunningham was chair of the House Intelligence Subcommittee on Terrorism and Human Intelligence, and had some considerable sway because this MZM, just in case you're wondering, nah, they don't build airplanes or helicopters, or they don't even build $900 screwdrivers and $400 toilet seats for the Pentagon. In fact, it's almost impossible to know exactly what MZM does do. Tortured grammar alert. They're a shadowy little outfit. Apparently, most of MZM's work, and MZM's named after Mitchell Wade's three kids, Matthew, Zachary, and Morgan. Isn't that charming? Counterintelligence field activity encompasses their work. And it's a super secret program created in 2002 by a Pentagon directive that focuses on gathering intelligence to avert attacks like September 11th. So naturally, Duke Cunningham would be the palm you wanted to grease if you wanted to get on the inside track of that racket. Because it is a racket. House Intelligence Subcommittee on Terrorism and Human Intelligence. They work with the Army National Ground Intelligence Center in Charlottesville, Virginia. And the U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And they're looking to increase its their contracts with the Central Command. If you're a big hog, you don't just want one foot in the trough. You want both front feet in the trough, and if you can get the back feet in there, you are one happy hog. Now, Duke Cunningham teared up and got all pitiful. You heard that already. Telling you how he was going to lose his worldly possessions. And by that, what he means is that under the deal that he struck, he was caught so dead to rights, he had to forfeit $1.8 million in cash, antiques, and rugs, as well as his Rancho Santa Fe home. Pauvre bébé. Just breaks me all up. How about you? But that wasn't all the crying he did. There's plenty more. Go ahead.
In my life,
here we go.
I've had great joy and great sorrow. And now I know great shame. I learned in Vietnam that the true measure of a man is how he responds to adversity.
Okie dokie there, Duke. Couldn't quite get out of your mea culpa, without waving the bloody shirt of Vietnam, could you? Now, when an honorable man like John Kerry did that, they swift-boated him. When an honorable, thrice-wounded, three-purple-heart, Silver Star recipient John Kerry bothered to mention the fact that he had served honorably in Vietnam when dear leader was defending Madam Morris from the Viet Cong, he was slimed. And yet, Randy Duke Cunningham, who sold you, who sold me, who sold us for antiques, rugs, furniture, and a house in Rancho Santa Fe, can't get through a statement without waving the bloody shirt. He makes me sick. But it goes on.
I can't undo what I've done, but I can atone.
No, you can't.
And now?
Well, maybe you can.
I'm almost 65 years old.
Oh!
And I enter the twilight of my life.
Twilight, you hear? He's entering the twilight. I can't atone, he says. You know, this is a warrior. He just told us, remember? He was in Vietnam, and he learned lessons in Vietnam. He's a warrior. Tell you what, Duke, you want to atone? Tell you what. Go study up on the ancient code of Bushido. Fill yourself a nice, warm tub of water. Get in it and slit your wrists. Do it, Duke! Do it! Because you, Duke Cunningham, are human waste. You, Duke Cunningham, are human garbage. You, Duke Cunningham, among other things, supported this filthy, misbegotten war so you could grease your palms. Get in a warm tub of water and slit your wrists, Duke Cunningham, almost 63 years old, in the twilight of your life. Do it, Duke. do it. Show some honor. Dredge up what little honor maybe once upon a time in your miserable existence you might have possessed. Show America that you have a little character, and save us the cost of housing your dead ass in prison. You know, he faces 10 years in prison, does Duke Cunningham. 10 years. 10 years for selling the public good of America. 10 years. Young black men go to prison for that long for having a rock of crack and a handgun in their pocket. He took nearly $2.5 million in graft and sleaze and corruption from MZM Enterprises, Inc. And all he faces is 10 years. It makes me sick. You supported that war, that Iraq war, at the same time that you knew you were making money off of it, Duke. You monster. You un-American. You traitorous rat. You traitor in human flesh and bone and sinew and gristle. You, Duke Cunningham, crawl into that tub, buddy. I don't care, nice and warm, and just slit, slit, and you just go to sleep, and we will all feel so much better about it, you god-awful, filthy Republican, you. This is Head On.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
The number you you have reached 7961 has been disconnected.
Welcome back. Duke Cunningham. Tarnishing, well, we've come to expect it from Republicans, whether it's Duke Cunningham getting his palm greased, or Shirley Moran Capito taking money from Tom DeLay, or the bug spray, you know, the king of bug spray huffing himself, ripping off Indian tribes and giggling about it. We expect it from Republicans. My God, they're dirty. It's the same as the old story about the woman who picks up the snake, nurses it back to health, and one day it bites her, and she's, why'd you do that? I nurse you. Lady, I'm a snake. It's what I do. Graft and greed and filth and corruption are what Republicans do. It's water to a fish. But all taken together, Brother Cunningham still wasn't done.
I intend to use the remaining time that God grants me to make amends, and I will. The first step in that journey is to admit
that I'm a Republican
and apologize, and I do apologize. The next step is to face the consequences of my action like a man. Today I have taken the first step.
No, you haven't. You've made excuses.
I will take the second. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you too, Duke. You didn't take responsibility like a man. You stood up there and cried. You stood up there and bawled, and you weren't crying because you regretted what you did. You told us in that first cut you were crying because you were losing your worldly possessions. You make me sick. You make me sick. Because what's a particularly egregious, you know, part of my makeup is finding the connections in things, or finding tracks through the seamless web that is our existence. And on this day when Duke Cunningham came out and told us all that he sold us, let's get biblical, for a bowl of pottage, like Esau sold his birthright. On this day when he did that, I also came across a story published in the Los Angeles Times from the 27th yesterday, about a fellow by the name of Colonel Ted Westhusing, a military, I know, it's going to sound like a contradiction in terms, a military ethicist, full professor at West Point, 44 years old. He was one of the Army's leading scholars, no less, on military ethics. You know, which children you can burn and which ones you can't. No, really, I'm being facetious. His doctoral dissertation had to do, his PhD was in philosophy. You know, Kant, Kierkegaard, Socrates, Plato, you know, that crowd. And his dissertation was an extended meditation on honor and the meaning of honor. And he volunteered to go to Iraq so that he could be a better professor to his students. And in June, Ted Westhusing, colonel, father, husband, walked into an empty room in Baghdad at the airbase and blew his brains out, because he could not stand the lack of honor that he witnessed every day. In emails to his family, Westhusing seemed especially upset by one conclusion he had reached, that traditional military values such as duty, honor, and country had been replaced by profit motives in Iraq, where the U.S. had come to rely heavily on contractors for jobs once done by the military, and it doesn't even begin to stop there. Oh God, there's another story out there tonight that'll make your hair curl. Colonel Westhusing was so dismayed by the lack of honor he witnessed in George's filthy little war that he walked into an empty barracks at the Baghdad airport and separated himself from his brains with his service sidearm. And Randy Duke Cunningham stands before the cameras and weeps and talks about the time that he has left to him upon the earth and how he will atone. He is part of that culture of graft and corruption and filth that Colonel Westhusen blew his brains out over. You see how it works. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Doing?
No, I'm doing all right. How about you?
All right. Well, that colonel at least took the honorable way out, in my opinion. Back in the old days, a person was given 10 minutes at a revolver on the desk at a closed door, and he could solve the solution himself. You know what I'm saying?
Well, somebody should provide a little service 45 or whatever to to Congressman Cunningham.
Oh, isn't he a piece of work? I mean, you know, he outdid Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah, I have sinned against you.
I mean, you know, it's like, sir, may I have another? May I have another? And, you know, this guy had been, what, they nailed him for what, mail fraud?
Mail fraud, wire fraud, let me check here.
Tax evasion?
Tax charges, conspiracy, and it's the conspiracy part that's going to be the real fun. Because that means he has to roll, again, we're back to what we were talking about Friday night, he has to roll on people.
Well,
hey, Jim, I hate to tell you, buddy, but you got to turn those speakers down.
Well, listen, I'm out of here, but I just wanted to throw my 2 cents in.
Okay. Listen, do me a favor. Just turn those speakers down. I'm getting emails from people. They're saying, you know, we love to hear Jim, but we can't hardly hear him for the speaker volume. It's kind of like standing in a hall of mirrors.
Been there, done that. I know. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. And, you know, that's for everybody. If you got the speakers up when you call, it's going to be mighty hard to hear. And, you know, since this is a show that has a lot of smart people calling in, we hate to miss out on anything. Yeah, Cunningham goes down on tax, fraud, wire fraud, mail fraud, and conspiracy. And you gotta wonder who will go with him. Well, you know, one of those Republicans, one of those people we love to hate. You remember Catherine Harris, don't you? Sure you do. Well, MZM officials and their family members gave Catherine Harris a total of $44,000 in 2003 and 2004. Charming, isn't it? Just charming. So it looks like a few more people will go down besides Randy Duke Cunningham, who is missing out on all of his worldly possessions, and for which he weeps. Honor, integrity, bah! Those are so pre-9/11. Rolls Royces. That's where the good getting is. $2.5 million McMansions in San Diego. That's the A-list stuff. Antique rugs, antique furniture, furs, Rolls Royces, graduation parties for your daughter. Man, that's the gravy train to get on. And of course, the wingnuts are out there hopping up and down, squealing in their little 440 hertz squeals. Democrats do it too! Democrats do it too! Sunshine, they would be getting taken down too. And who knows? Maybe some will get taken down on this. And you know what? If they do, they deserve everything that's coming to them. But compare these hawks. On the one hand, you got Jack Murtha, who stood up and said, well, it's not going so good in Iraq, so maybe it's time we pulled back a little bit. The right-wing media then turned that into, Jack Murtha says we have to cut and run! Woo! He said pull back to the periphery and see if the Iraqis can sort it out for themselves. And saying that, Jack Murtha gets called everything but a human being. Despicable, reprehensible, Dick Cheney called him. A coward, Gene Schmidt called him. A Vietnam and Korea vet. Duke Cunningham is a Vietnam vet. Duke Cunningham stands up for his mea culpa and cannot help but drag out his days flying aircraft over Vietnam and dropping bombs on indiscriminate human beings, for which he is called hero. Now you tell me, which one of those two people is despicable and reprehensible? I'll leave it up to you. You're smart. You don't have to be given talking points like some ditto head. Jack Murtha, Duke Cunningham. There's the dichotomy. Two hawks. Two lovers of war. One with a conscience, and one with a handout. Which one's despicable? Which one is reprehensible? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Say Jimmy's coming down across the alleyway. Up on the boulevard like a zip gun on parade. Lights up the silhouette. He's disappointed at coming at you on the count of one.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
are all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat. Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, son, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out!
Oh!
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. About 13 minutes before the hour. Just exploring the parallel or almost intersecting worlds of Randy Duke Cunningham, Republican congressman, smeared in filth and greed and mired in dishonor, as compared to Colonel Ted Westhusing, a man whose very professional life was grounded in, and arguably, probably his inner being as well, his inner self, was centered on the concept of honor within the military and the search for it. His dissertation contained references all the way from Robert E. Lee in the Civil War up to the Israeli honor or Israeli army in his search for honor. And what he was doing, what Colonel Westhusing was doing in Iraq, was overseeing a private security company, you know, another one of those companies to which we've farmed out military duties. Do you think most of America realizes that American troops, we keep hearing, oh, you know, there's 18 dozen battalions of Iraqis ready to take over, blah, 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 blah. You know, and then the generals show up in Congress and have to stick their hands in the air and they go, we had three last year, we got two now. But do you think most of America understands that we are absolutely not training Iraqi forces ourselves, that we have farmed that out to Dick Cheney's company, Halliburton, and this company, USIS, and Aegis Security, and Blackwater? Do you think America knows that? No. America thinks that our soldiers are over there showing the little Iraqi soldiers how to, you know, load a weapon and field strip a weapon and get the sand out of the weapon. And this is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for shooting. This is for fun. You know, doing all of that. That's what we've been told, isn't it? We have been told that our troops are training the Iraqis to take over their own defense. Thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. Because as it turns out, what we're doing is we've subcontracted it out. We've subcontracted out everything but the dying and the bleeding and the mourning and the grieving and the aching and the screaming in the middle of the night. Colonel Westhusing was, in fact, in charge of oversight of a company called USIS out of Virginia. Curiously enough, the same, MZW's out of Virginia, too. Of course, there's a lot of defense contractors in Northern Virginia. I don't kid myself. But USIS had been contracted out to take over the training of Iraqi police. And he was supposed to make sure that they were properly training a corps of Iraqi police to conduct special operations. USIS got $79 million to do this. And General David Petraeus, he's commanding officer of the Iraqi training mission. Back in March, he praised Westhusing's performance. He said he had exceeded lofty expectations. Colonel Westhusing writes back and says, "Thanks much, sir, but we can do much better, and we will." Okay? Then the delays started. Delays in training one of the police battalions. In May, he got a four-page anonymous letter that explained in detail the fact that USIS was shorting the government on the number of trainers to increase its profit margin. You see, there are some things that profit should not be a part of. Arguably the healthcare system, public works, the water system, power, electricity, war. But in Bushmerica, war is just another opportunity to make a buck. Right? Right. And this writer said that USIS contractors allegedly had witnessed or participated in the killing of Iraqis. One of the trainers followed a group of his Iraqis into Fallujah and came back bragging about the number of Iraqis he had slain. Now, those trainers from USIS were forbidden to actually take part in military operations. Now, of course, the Army investigated and they found, quote, "No contractual violations." Because it's about the money, sunshine. It's not about honor. It's not about glory. It's not about doing the right thing. It's not about, "Well, Saddam was an evil man, and he gassed his own people, and Udi and Cootie, and..." It's about the money, baby. It's about the money. And as a consequence of that, Ted Westhusing saw that honor is dead in the Bush military. And he walked into an empty room, chambered around, and said goodbye to his brains. That says a lot. My God. He wrote letters. He said things like he disliked the contractors. He said they were paid too much money by the government. And he described feeling alone and abandoned. He sent home brief, cryptic emails, including one that said, "I didn't think I'd make it last night." 2 weeks before his death, his wife had a phone conversation with him. She said, "I heard something in his voice. In Ted's voice, there was fear. He did not like the nighttime and being alone." And a lot of it had to do with the filth and the graft and the greed and the corruption that he was witnessing. But some of it had to do, of course, with the very nature of what was going on before his very eyes. We know now that chemical weapons have been used against the Iraqis by us. We're not talking about something the Houthi or Kudi or Saddam did or ordered to be done. We have used chemical weapons on the Iraqis. And we haven't just used them on insurgents or freedom fighters or whatever you want to call the people who don't want us there and are willing to do anything to make us leave. We didn't just use them on them. In Fallujah, we sent... There were 50,000 people left in that city who couldn't or wouldn't leave. And we slaughtered them with just as much reckless abandonment as we slaughtered anyone else. They were all targets. White phosphorus, perhaps. It would appear, and I believe I got this in an article from our buddy Victor. Something called thermobaric weapons that create hellish conflagrations and tremendous pressure that will literally destroy a human body not like a flash, but tremendous pressure, like a pressure chamber, just, you know, hamster in the microwave kind of stuff. Pop goes the Iraqi. Yeah, we did that. Colonel Westhusing saw it with his own eyes, and it cost him his brains. So let's all stand up and give a proud salute to Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham and feel sorry for him losing his $2.5 million McMansion that was bought with the graft and the greed and the corruption that infests the Bush administration from the ground up. Yay, we salute you. Oh, Congressman Cunningham, we salute you. This is Head On.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. a paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Someone cry over. America. See a billion roads leading there. The higher each road goes, the closer they all come, till they all come together. Everybody's got to walk. No, there ain't no free ride. Everybody's got to walk. You might have angel wings. You might be tied to a wheelchair. Maybe a jet plane pilot. You might be nothing but thin air. You might be a Muslim, you might be Hindu, you might be Christian, might be a Jew, but everybody's got to walk, everybody got to walk.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, let's do another hour. What do you say? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Your nightly confrontation with the facts, we like to call it. And, of course, a reminder of the phone numbers, 304-658-3333, 877-443-2366, if you need us to pay the freight. And, of course, Bob at headonradio.com is the email address. So, in the story of Colonel Ted Westhusing, whom we were discussing in the first hour, who became so disgusted with the filthy manner in which this war has been prosecuted, this needless war, I might add, that he walked into a room and blew his brains out, and did in fact, and you know, that's why I suggested that Congressman Cunningham get into a warm tub of water and do the do the razor blade trick. In part and parcel of what drove Colonel Westhusing to do what he did was the filth that he observed among the contractors. And this hit yesterday, first in the Telegraph in the UK. A trophy video has come to light. And it shows security guards, you know, those independent contractors, mercenaries. It shows mercenaries in Iraq, in Baghdad, randomly shooting Iraqi civilians. It's on video. This is, what? Is this the natural outgrowth of Abu Ghraib? If you can torture them when they're in custody, why not just shoot them at random on the road? It showed up on a website, the video did, that's been unofficially linked to something called Aegis Defense Services. Now, they're the same sort of folks as are Blackwater. Hired guns. Hired killers, taxpayer-funded mercenaries in Iraq. And in one of the videoed attacks, a Mercedes is fired on at a distance of several hundred yards before it crashes into a civilian taxi.
Yeehaw! This is funner than shooting fish in a barrel.
You're paying for that. I'm paying for that. We're paying for that. George Bush thinks it's just the right way to run a war. Donald Rumsfeld who never advocated for the Iraq War. Remember that? Donald Rumsfeld never advocated for the Iraq War. He said that, what, a week ago this past Sunday? I never advocated. This is his idea of how to run a war. There are 50,000 of these mercenaries in Iraq. Remember Rummy? Yeah, here's Rummy.
I didn't advocate invasion.
No, hell no.
I wasn't asked. If you read all the books and the things.
No, I didn't advocate invasion. But he did make sure that General Eric Shinseki was cashiered when he said it was going to take a whole lot more manpower and personnel to pacify Iraq than what Rummy wanted to send in. See ya, Eric. Welcome to retirement, buddy. But he didn't advocate, Rummy didn't. But, these are free marketeers, these Republicans. The free market can do anything better than government. Remember the free marketeers, the Grover Norquists of this world, who want to starve the government until it's so weak it can be drowned in a bathtub? Yeah, those guys. Free marketers. Because a free market army is much better than a government-sponsored army. Now, bear in mind, a government-sponsored army has managed to win every war that we've gotten ourselves into with the, Vietnam and Iraq. But both of those were heavily undergirded by the likes of Kellogg, Byrne, and Lute. Now they got swallowed up by Halliburton. 50,000 mercenaries are on the ground in Iraq. And let's see, there's more footage. There's four clips on this video. These mercenaries open fire with automatic rifles at civilian cars. It's a road that's called Route Irish. The road that goes from the airport to Baghdad. That would be the same route where, what was her name? Juliana Sgrena was attacked. And her bodyguard, the Italian intelligence agent, special forces, whatever, who had rescued her, was murdered. So you've got a Mercedes fired at. And three others. Elvis Presley's song Mystery Train is the soundtrack in this video. And you can hear Irish brogue accented voices, Scottish or Irish, in at least one of the clips. And apparently Aegis Defense Services was set up in 2002 by Lieutenant Colonel Tim Spicer, a former Scots Guards officer. And the Foreign Office in the United Kingdom is investigating the contents of the video in conjunction with Aegis. So you know how that's going to turn out. What was the quote from the Westhusing story? I got it right here. U.S. officials investigated and found no contractual violations. No contractual violations. Now, do you remember the right-wing hissy fit that was thrown when those mercenaries' bodies were burned and then thrown, hung from the bridges? And the hell that people caught for suggesting that they were mercenaries because the right-wing media kept trying, it's ABC, CBS, NBC, the right-wing media kept trying to say, hey, those are independent contractors. They were mercenaries. They were Hessians. They did the same thing. They are doing the same thing in Iraq that the hated Hessians did to us during the revolution. Paid killers. And now that you know, and of course some of this stuff was covered in a frontline documentary some several months ago that noted there are 50,000 of these mercenaries on the ground in Iraq. They come from, well, the last job that some of them had were apartheid headbusters in South Africa. Some of them are unreconstructed death squad members from Guatemala and El Salvador and Peru. You see what we're dealing with. Do you understand now that based on, you know, they just shoot people for the hell of it. There is no law. They answer to no general. They salute no flag. And they answer for no murder. So do you understand now that the story begins to come out? Of course you do. You understand why those people took such glee in burning those mercenary bodies and hanging them from a bridge. Because it was a mute testament to the furor that they feel and can do nothing about. My God. Not God bless America. God forgive America. Let's take a break. This is Head On.
Now I'm Bob Kincaid. Tell you what I've done for you. 50,000 tears I've cried. Screaming, deceiving, and bleeding for you. And you still won't hear me. Don't hold your hand this time. I'll save myself. Maybe I'll wake up for one more soon. Not tall and daily defeated by you. Just one night, but I reached the bottom.
Once upon a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
I hope you don't think I'm just beating on things for the hell of it. But there are a few more facts you do need to know about this Aegis video showing what the mercenaries, our mercenaries, the mercenaries we pay for, are doing in Iraq. Lieutenant Colonel Spicer, formerly of the Scots Guards, well, he first made a name for himself when he got busted in 1998 when his private military company, Sandlines International, was accused of breaking United Nations sanctions by selling arms to Sierra Leone. Now, that was a particularly nasty, bloody little dust-up. If I recall correctly, children as young as 9 and 10 were recruited for that war. Yeah, I think that was Sierra Leone. Now, the website, if you're curious, there's nothing to see there now. It's been scrubbed. Aegis Iraq, AegisIraq, AegisIraq.co.uk. Any computer geniuses out there good at digging through the memory hole and finding what used to be there? The video clips have been removed. And it also has a message from Colonel Spicer now. It says, I'm concerned about the media interest in this site, and I remind everyone of their contractual obligation not to speak to or assist the media without clearing it with the project management of Aegis London. Refrain from posting anything which is detrimental to the company, since this could result in the loss or curtailment of our contract with resultant loss for everybody. I hate it when a guy goes out and makes a stereotype come to life. Remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's playing golf on the links in Scotland and the little red-headed dude is chasing him, the guy with the little kilt and the funny beard and the McTavish or whatever his name is, and he shoots a bullet. And he shoots a gun at Bugs Bunny, misses, and retrieves the bullet and picks it up and remarks, it's been in the family for generations. God, it's Lieutenant Colonel Spicer. Don't say anything about the fact that we've been slaughtering the Iraqis for a bit of sport. It might hurt the money. That's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is. Meanwhile, just because he's from the Scots Guards and everything, no, he's under contract to us. We hired him. This is not a British problem. The Foreign Office is investigating. We hired him. You hired him. I hired him. The Bush administration hired him. We, the people, hired Lieutenant Colonel Tim Spicer and Aegis International. We hired him. Sure, he's our guy. He's our mercenary. He's our killer. This is war reduced to a video game. I had a press offering to do an interview with a guy who has a new campaign to eliminate ultra-graphic video violence in video games. And, you know, the next generation where there's rape and mayhem and murder and torture and so forth. And lo and behold, it does sort of tie together. There we have it. These are former Special Forces types who have used their downtime to play Ghost Recon and Splinter Cell and think it, you know, ooh, look, I get an extra life. Bigora, I get to shoot another one. How much more of this psychotic sickness can we stand? And, shh, don't tell anybody. But even if we do the MRTHA thing and withdraw to the periphery, the contractors don't have to leave. And we have to keep paying them. Woohoo! Fun, huh? Then there's Captain Adnan Tawfiq. He's with the Iraqi Interior Ministry. Yeah, the same Interior Ministry that had 173 people tortured and at death's door in a basement somewhere in the middle of Baghdad. That and yeah, but still, he says when the security companies kill people, they just drive away and nothing is done. Sometimes we ring the companies up. They were concerned and they deny everything. The families don't get any money or compensation. I would say we have had about 50 to 60 incidents of this kind. And this is another one of those shh moments. The Quran itself contains, as does the Old Testament, specific remedies for when a member of the family is unjustly killed and what happens if that remedy is not followed. Never wonder why there are beheadings over there. We were led to believe that the beheadings were just random acts of senseless cruelty. No, sunshine. We're playing in a moral field of the Lord over there that we scarcely comprehend. And while they may seem random to us, to some mindsets over there, they were perfectly rational acts. Every bit as rational as an American-paid mercenary cruising down the road taking pot shots at cars for the hell of it. See how it works? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
How can you see into my eyes like open?
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. The machinery of American democracy is in terrible shape. While I don't argue that there always has and probably always will be a certain amount of election fraud, most of it racist, but with the advent of electronic voting machines, the potential for fraud is far greater and far more damaging. And apart from the machines themselves, there are numerous other issues concerning how we elect our representatives and how they operate within office. But all of these are symptoms of a far greater problem, the apathy of the American people. Being a citizen of a free republic requires enormous responsibilities, and we don't always live up to them. And many who do choose to get involved do so because they want to protect only their own interests at the expense of others. Most of us would rather not get involved at all, or want the process to be as quick and easy as possible so they don't have to think about it. At a recent election reform meeting, I wondered why it was that politicians of either party wouldn't want to support an election system where all the votes were counted by hand at the precinct level in full public view. I was told by an experienced political player that such a thing just wouldn't fly with the general public. And the sad thing is, I agree with him. Of all the threats to this country, this is the greatest. Because citizens who take their responsibilities this lightly will wake up one day to find out that they are now subjects. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Head on. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin. No falafel, no Oxycontin, just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day, head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night, headonradio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7.06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Welcome back. 28 minutes before the hour, halfway through this Monday night edition. And, boy, am I glad it's Monday. I never imagined a world in which I would be sad to see the weekend end. But when you love what you do, it makes all the difference in the world. Let's go straight back to the phones. Gary's been waiting. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, now, you know it's not PC for the Scots to shoot the English anymore, so they have to go after somebody else.
The minute I said Scott, I knew I would hear from you.
Yeah, I've spent the whole weekend just reading up on Scottish battles. In fact, I sent you something there. Just keep in mind all those battles there. That's just one family. I'm serious. It's just amazing, I'll tell you. Now, it's really it's just an unbelievably bloodthirsty past, and the more if you look at the past of Western civilization, it's just about a mirror of what's going on in the Middle East right now. I mean, at one time, we weren't so lackadaisical ourselves. We were just the same kind of people, really.
Well, we're the natural outgrowth. You know, and I've come to the conclusion, Gary, that there was that time when we had Franklin, Jefferson, Adams, Washington, Hamilton, that whole crowd, was a really, really, truly special time on planet Earth. Whether it was the product of a harmonic convergence or whatever, it was special because those people believed human nature could be changed.
Yeah, well, I believe it can be changed. But, you know, really, Bob, if you look at the people out there that really want to fight, the people that want to fight are people that don't have anything to lose.
Wait, but we do. We've got plenty to lose, Gary.
I know. I mean, but, you know, if you're a poor person and you don't have a thing in the world to lose, you know, you'll fight. But, see, that's the problem with those Arabs over there. Most of them are in poverty. They don't have anything.
Well, they've got what they have, they're proud to have.
Yeah, but they're...
And when you have next to nothing, having a little bit taken away is a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So I believe that's one reason why you can account for that type of attitude over there, which is, you know, rather radical and everything. And, you know, in America, we're just totally the opposite. You can't stir people up here for anything, hardly.
Well, we're pretty well anesthetized. But, well, that's not entirely true. I mean, look where our military traditionally goes to recruit its forces. We go into the inner city, poor high schools. We recruit the poorest of the poor. We go into the extremely rural high schools, you know, here in West Virginia even. And we recruit people. We recruit young people with severely limited futures. It may be the proof in your thesis, Gary.
Well, have you seen all those new ads the military's got out? Maybe they're not new. I just plugged the TV in last week after having haven't shut off for 5 years.
Smart man.
But, you know, they've got all these ads out there, and I don't know. There's a lot of people on the message board that lately. They're talking about recruiters and stuff like that. I just don't think recruiters ought to even be in school.
Why do they need to be there?
Well, that's my thing. Why do they need to be there? And really, most of these people, if they thought about it a little bit, got a little bit older, they'd never want to go in.
Well, I imagine that's true, and that's why the retention rate is down, and it's why the initial recruitment rate is down. You know, it's one thing to want to serve your country. It's another thing to want to serve your country, but at the same time, stare squarely in the face, Gary, the fact that you may well not serve your country. You may be called upon to serve the oil interests of the multinationals.
Well, you could even be called for it to wear the Ewing Blue Beret.
Well, I'd far rather wear the Blue Beret than serve Halliburton or Exxon Mobil, and that's what's going on over there.
Well, it's always been that way. I mean, we're there to fight to preserve certain interests, which do, in the final analysis, serve everybody's interests, because we've got to have an energy supply. But the thing about it is, why are we over there in the first place? Why didn't, after 1973, why aren't we energy independent by now?
We could be. I saw an article and didn't have a chance to go into it in any depth, Gary. The houses that had solar panels in the Gulf region, a lot of those kept right on having electricity, even though Katrina blew through.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you know, the oil companies don't want us to be energy independent. They want to keep us, tied to them forever through one method or another.
Well, sure.
The
junkie always wants, or the dealer always wants the junkie on the string. You know, there's never enough.
But see, what we have failed as a nation, though, our government, instead of looking out for the interest of the people, they've been looking out for the interest of the oil companies.
Well, sure they have. And Congressman Cunningham proves the fact that they're not just looking out for the oil companies and the defense contractors. They're, by golly, looking out for themselves as well, Gary.
Yeah.
$2.5 million McMansion, Rolls Royces, antique rugs, furniture, graduation parties for your daughter.
Do you realize that the government right now is taking away about over 56% of what the average person makes?
Well, yeah, by the time you factor in food taxes, gasoline taxes, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy your thoughts on topics, Gary, let me shift gears with you real quick. Did you see the article? I saw it in the Charleston paper today. It may have been in the Beckley as well. About Governor Manchin's unilateral move to freeze the gas tax.
Seems like I did. I heard about it anyway. Yeah.
Well, I think the end result is good. But that's a power grab that somebody ought to be paying attention to, because the governor of this state can't just do that. He wrote an executive order and said, "The act of the legislature shall be null and void."
Well, man,
that's not a governor, Gary. That's a dictator.
Well, Joe Manchin, if anybody could get by with it, it's probably Joe Manchin.
Well, sure, the getting by with it part, but I don't want to see gas taxes go up to 10.3 cents or by 10.3 cents, whatever the statistic was. I don't want to see that happen. But in the long term, I'm a lot more leery of a governor who, what's next? A governor who says that he can invalidate any law that he sees fit to invalidate? That's creepy.
Well, it is. Really, it is. But, I mean, that's just more or less the way it's going in this country. It's been going that way for a long time. For example, the Constitution says that if you serve in one branch of government, you cannot serve in another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're a lawyer, you're an officer of the court.
Oh, that's the old emoluments argument?
Well, is it right or wrong?
Well, technically, if you're a lawyer, you are an officer of the court, I suppose.
Yes, and you should be disbarred if you want to serve in the legislative branch.
Or you should, or are not necessarily disbarred, but get out of the law business.
Well, I mean, now look at it this way, Bob. Lawyers are people that are in this business of law. They should have to follow it down to the letter of the law.
But that particular amendment, I remember reading about that. There is some question. It never became completely ratified. It lacked one state. The titles and emoluments clause.
Well, you studied law and I haven't. I can't argue that with you, but there's no doubt that, you know, the government only follows laws when they want to. I'll give you an example of something. Just the way our thinking is in this country. You remember Larry Pratt, that gun owners organization that he had here a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He sent me a letter, a fundraising letter, said that they wanted to introduce an amendment into the legislative process that would reaffirm the Second Amendment. And I got really angry, and I sent him a very nasty letter back, and I said, why do you have to reaffirm what's already on the books?
Precisely.
And I think we do that a lot.
But you gave it some thought, Gary. Do you have any idea how much money he probably raised out of that?
But yeah, I'll tell you what.
That's like sitting in church on Sunday and watching the people go getting teary-eyed at the altar call. They've already been down there. They've had their dunking. They've had their confirmation, yada, yada, yada. But they want to recommit.
Well, you know, it's like this. I'm very pro-Second Amendment.
Sure.
But when I found out that Wayne LaPierre was making $750,000 a year, I've not renewed my membership.
They don't need your money, Gary.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, if he's making $750,000 a year, even though I'm very much pro Second Amendment,
I used to send my check in annually, Gary. I was a member.
But you kind of got to thinking the same way I did, no doubt.
Well, when you realize, and to a certain extent, there's some truth in this for other groups. For instance, when AARP sold out America's seniors on the Medicare prescription drug bill, it was only then that we found out that AARP is not running on the membership dues of its constituents.
How are they running the organization?
No, insurance. They sell insurance. They are they're technically, I suppose, a 501c3 charity. But they get a cut of the insurance sales that they make to seniors,
which is tremendous.
Oh God, it's huge.
Yeah.
The Hartford, I believe, is one of their principal companies.
Yeah, it is.
And to the same extent, the NRA, my God, you know, they're not making it on their dues. You know, some dude with a lawn chair and a camper sitting by the Mexican border, proud to display his NRA sticker. Wayne LaPierre is not eating lobster on what he sends in once a year. It's money that's coming from Colt and Winchester and Browning and Remington, on and on and on. Then it's not an advocacy group. It's not grassroots anymore. It has nothing to do with the people who own guns. It has to do with the people who make them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I think you would see some sane responses to gun ownership.
Well,
I mean,
that's where we part company. I don't agree with you there. I'm glad that somebody out there is defending the Second Amendment. You talk about what do you mean by that, Bob?
Well, In places where you have rampant crime, I can understand a need or a desire on the part of civilized society to make them a little guns a little harder to get. Now you and I, we live in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And there are people, and I've been one of them, who live 20. You know, where it's a 20-minute drive for the nearest first responder cop type, and the most they're going to do is get to the house and draw the chalk outline.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's up to you. And we're a rural state. We like to hunt. Now I know that there are animal rights types and PETA types in this audience who are going to go, you know, and want to get their hands around my neck. I understand that, but it is what it is. Among other things, we have a rampant deer population that absolutely must be kept in check, if only to pacify State Farm.
The real reason for the Second Amendment was so that the people would have arms in case their government ever got out of control, and through all other means, they could not change anything, and they had to resort to arms. And the people.
Well, exactly, Gary. The Second and the Fourth Amendment are intimately tied together. As you can see it, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not. And then, you know, you're right on top of it with there shall be no quartering of troops without consent, and there shall be no search without a warrant, and one based upon probable cause. Every one of those amendments that you see in the Bill of Rights has a direct relationship to real time experiences of the framers of the Constitution.
Yes.
You know, because the British were notorious for busting into your house and taking your guns away.
Well,
after they'd done that, they put themselves up in your bed.
look what they're doing here in America. We haven't quite come to that point yet, but you know the Supreme Court has allowed cops, when they stop you on the side of the road with no probable cause whatsoever, to search your vehicle.
Oh, it's beyond that now. I remember having an absolute hissy on the air back in the days back, when I was on the air at that other place. The Supreme Court decision that came down that said, if you are standing on the street minding your own business and a cop comes up and says, let me see your ID.
Yeah.
Well, the Supreme Court said you have to show them your ID. They don't even have to have suspicion of a crime to shake you down now.
Well, the state, this is what got me, the state Supreme Court in North Carolina, and this is 20 years ago, ruled that a mobile home was considered a vehicle. Therefore, they did not need a warrant to search a vehicle. Therefore, they could just walk in your mobile home anytime they felt like it and search it.
Well, you know, I'm certainly not going to run off to Idaho and join a militia or anything. But I'm a proud gun owner, Gary. I try to use it responsibly. I go practice with it. Agnes is pretty good with hers. And when the time comes, the children will be taught, because one of the most dangerous things in the world is a firearm in the hands of someone who has never handled one.
Exactly.
And this is a firearm-infested country. You know, it's not England where, you know, the cops say, stop, or I'll yell stop again because I don't have a gun. This, you know, we were founded on the Wild West, and unfortunately, it's a mindset we still have about us.
Yeah, but explain this to me. How come you've got countries out there that have even higher gun ownership rates than the United States, for example, Switzerland? They don't have the crime problem. What is it? It's a cultural thing.
It's a handgun thing.
It's more than a handgun thing. It's a cultural thing. I mean, we come from a very, very violent culture.
The Swiss gun ownership is based upon their historic neutrality, because they back up that with that neutrality with what a history professor once said to me. He said, they're neutral because if you cross their borders, they will surely hand you your ass in a hurry.
Yeah.
And that's the basis of that. But you can't simply blithely throw out the handgun issue, because if you're defending your home from your government or from an invader, that handgun's virtually worthless. Handguns are tools for killing other people at close range.
Well, I'd beg to differ with you on that, Bob.
I mean, you know, if the government tanks are rolling down the road, I want them. You know, I want my Browning 300 mag.
Well, that'd be helpful, but I believe it was the Miller decision that went before the Supreme Court, and they said if a gun doesn't have military value, it's not protected by the Second Amendment. Now, they have not tried to take handguns away on that, because the truth of the matter is, handguns are a valuable military stamp.
Well, certainly they are, as an officer's sidearm, as a secondary weapon. But, you know, you're not going to stand and blaze with your six-shooter or your 1911 if you've got a gun of greater efficacy. You know,
You take that 300 Winchester Magnum and you go and try to do house-to-house fighting with it. I mean, you're going to find out real quick that's not what you want. You're going to want a small, easy-to...
Well, sure, and like handguns for home protection. I've argued time and time again that if you want home defense, you don't want that 15-round 9mm pistol. You want a little 410 snake charmer with 4-shot in it. Because if you shoot at given the ranges that are involved, that thing's going to go in like a baseball and out like a basketball.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
And it won't penetrate the walls and hurt your family.
I'm not going to fault your thinking in that regard, but actually it really depends on the person involved. A person is skilled in the use of a handgun, it'd be a perfectly good choice for home defense. That's what I use to defend my home, is a handgun.
And when was the last time the barbarian hordes knocked down your door, Gary?
Never have, and I'm thankful for that.
And it's because you're armed to the teeth.
Well,
no, I play with you. No, I understand what you're saying. I just like that little 410 is just handy as hell.
Oh, they're a great little home defense weapon, and I agree with you, because especially if you live in an apartment building or you live where you have people very close by. I kind of live out of the way, so there's nobody really that close to me, but. There have been people killed in other rooms when bullets penetrated walls. There's no doubt about it.
You know, and sometimes in West Virginia, you take your life into your hands a little bit, because I remember being, true story, I was out trying to put together a kid's swing set, Gary?
I generally avoid things like that.
Like the freaking plague, you should avoid it.
Yeah.
I was trying to put it together. My neighbor about a half mile down the road was good and liquored up and decided to sight in the 22. And I'm sitting there, you know, cussing, sweating, carrying on, trying to get pole A to fit in groove B and hold it there long enough to get the bolt and the nut and twist and the washer. And I'll feel like a bumblebee on steroids right past my ear. It's my neighbor sighting in his 22. And, you know, the first, you know, this is West Virginia, and the first fundamental redneck response is to get up and go and confront him. Fortunately, my lovely wife walks out the door and goes, "Are you crazy? He's got a gun. He's loaded."
Yeah, that probably wasn't a good idea.
But you deal with that kind of stuff around here. You're talking about being, you know, close to it. You know, deer season opened, and it's the first day of deer season sounded like World War III in my backyard.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason I don't go deer hunting, because you get all those guys in the woods, and they never shoot except one time a year, and they don't have an idea what you're doing.
And nine times out of ten, they've got some sort of a Remington semi-auto 30-06, and they figure if shot one didn't get Bambi, shot eight will, you know, and sit there and melt the barrel on the back of their four-wheeler.
If you want to see something you'll always remember, go to the gun range a couple days before hunt season starts and watch those guys. Oh, boy, I've seen things. I've seen guys, you know, shooting from the hip rapid fire with lever-action Winchesters. And,
oh, God.
I mean, you'll be so scared you'll never go in the woods again during hunt season. I mean, it's... I'm just not going to go out there. Them guys, I'm scared of them.
Hell no wonder the deer live in my garden. It's too dangerous to be in the woods. Hey, Gary, we got to roll, man.
Okay, bye.
Good talking to you.
Huh?
Bye now.
Bye.
And Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome back.
Hey, when are you going to have Ollie Ermey on your show?
You know, I haven't asked.
Well, you should.
He's a... I don't know. I go back and forth on Ollie Ermey.
Let me tell you something about weapons, Bob. I can remember standing right in front of a Beckley net with a shot riding out across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were almost in a state of siege till the cops came and got this fool across the street and nailed him. By that, I mean, they took him away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I have mixed emotions about people having firearms. I really do.
I understand that. And like I said, I think it's a completely different circumstance in the wilds of West Virginia versus, you know, down on D Street.
I mean, how would you feel if one of your children was standing out in the front yard and a stray shot would have taken one of them out?
Oh, my God. There'd be a killing. You know, I mean, I'm not without experience with this. I lost a brother to a handgun accident.
I mean, another case in point, there were three people who went out deer hunting. All these people were on psychotropic medication, father and two sons. And this was back in 96. And they killed each other.
Oh, I know.
And so, but my original question is about the executive order. Now, I think the governor has some power to issue an executive order, just like the president does, okay?
He does that. You're right.
And, for example, let me give you an example. You know the GI Bill?
Sure.
That didn't come through the legislature. That came by executive order of Franklin D. Roosevelt.
That's true. It did. But the governor of West Virginia, in this particular instance, he has to operate under the Constitution of the state of West Virginia.
Well, I don't pretend to be a constitutional expert on West Virginia constitutional law. However, I don't think that Manchin would have done that without some type of authority.
Well, what the authority he used, Jim, was the fact that Bob Wise did it, too. He froze the 6% sales tax on mobile homes. And that was back after the flooding of 2001 and 2002. But the fact is, you know, some of this commentary came from a fellow named Robert Bastris, who is a quite excellent professor of constitutional law at WVU. I'm just flipping it open here. He made a specific reference. He said, there are some emergency powers in the West Virginia Constitution for the governor, but I don't think they extend to suspending laws. See, what FDR did with the GI Bill, he didn't change any legislation that was already in place. What Manchin has done here, and I'm certainly not arguing for higher taxes. You understand that.
Yeah.
But he says, Within the West Virginia Constitution, a governor has the power to call a special session. He has some emergency military powers, but those are the only inherent powers he has to qualify statutes. Otherwise, he has to enforce them.
He has no direct power?
Pardon?
He has no specifically, you know, you have inherent powers, you have concurrent powers, and you have delegated powers, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, according to Bob Bastris, who is no slacker, that's it. What he enumerated there.
Well, so, I just know that they do have a certain amount of executive leeway when it comes to that sort of thing, and it does manifest itself in the form of an executive order.
Oh, I understand that. The question is, though, can an executive order completely nullify a law?
Well, I'm not sure about that. That'll be up to a court to decide, probably.
And, of course, nobody's going to take this to court because nobody wants to see the gas taxes go up.
Well, it would appear to me, though, that if just like FDR had the best interest of the country and the military in mind when he issued his executive order, I think the Governor Manchin probably had the same thing in his own mind to what he did, you know?
Yeah, I do. The only problem with that, Jim, is that whole best laid plans of mice and men argument and the, you know, the primrose path and all of that. I'm not concerned with what he did with the gas tax. I'm concerned with the next law that he's going to decide that needs to be suspended for a little while. That whole business of suspending laws. And see, the other thing, Jim, we just had a special session of the legislature. It wasn't like this wasn't what was a surprise. We knew this gas tax increase was coming. That could have been addressed in the special session of the legislature.
Okay, well, I just wondered because he basically vacated the act of the legislature?
Yeah, he completely vacated an act of the legislature. Jim, we got to hit it. Good to hear from you. Take care. I'm hearing some clicking and popping on the telephones, and I don't know what that is. Eh, another day, another gremlin. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Sugar Magnolia,
blossoms blooming. That's all empty and I don't care.
So my baby down by the river,
knew she'd have to come up soon for air.
Sweet blossom, come on under the willow. We can have high times if you look back. We can discover the wonders of nature,
growing in the rushes down by the riverside. She's got everything we like, oh, she's got everything I need. Takes the wheel when I see a double, pays my ticket when I speed.
Skimming through rays of violet, she can wait in a drop of dew. She don't come and I don't follow, waits backstage while I sing to you. Well, she can dance a Cajun rhythm, jump like a widow's in four-wheel drive. She's a summer love in the spring, fall, and winter. She can make happy any man alive. Sugar magnolia, ringing that bluebird, caught up in sunlight. Going out singing, I walk in the sunshine. Come on, honey, come along with me.
She's got everything delightful. She's got everything I need. A breeze in the pines in the sun, and light moonlight, crazy in the sunlight, missing me.
Sometimes when the cuckoo's crying, when the moon is halfway down, sometimes when the night is dying, I take me out and I wander around. I wander around. Sunshine, daydream.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. Next to me is the lovely Agnes. Reachable at 304-658-3333 or 877-4, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. Email bob at headonradio.com. And one listener had wanted me to repeat the web address for Aegis, whereat they once upon a time had their filthy little video up of Shooting Gallery Iraq. That is Aegis Iraq, AEGISIRAQ .co.uk. And also, I did notice if you go to truthout.org, most of you know what that is already, they have some of the video up. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but they do have some of it there as well. I believe another listener also pointed to another web link for it. See it while you can before it goes down the memory hole, because sunshine, it will. It amazed me. I've seen several things posted to a site called Putfile, P-U-T-F-I-L-E, and that was where I saw the Juba sniper video. Talk about horrifying. It again, the reference to video games. It was like watching a video game with real live human Americans as the targets, and it was sickening, and it just turned your stomach. And you thought about I'll speak for myself. I won't dare speak for you. I sat there and I thought about all the Bush voters who enabled Juba, who has killed upwards of 100 Americans. One shot, videotapes it, and he's gone. And they produce these videos, much like, hey, wonder where Juba learned to do these videos. You know, with background music and graphics. Mystery Train, is that the Elvis Presley song that's the background music for the Root Irish video shot by the Aegis Boys? If you wait long enough, the facts will out. And what you'll find out is that most of the horror that I can't believe what barbarians them Arabs are in Iraq. How dare them do what they've done when all we want to do is bring them frisbees and wheat checks and democracy. Morans. Yes, dear.
Well, you know, since you're talking about the Scots there, wonder what William Wallace would have thought of him.
Well, frankly, I don't know. William Wallace, at least, you know, engaged in head-to-head combat. He wasn't sitting there sending flaming arrows into the homes of non-combatants.
No, he was protecting his home.
True enough.
And they killed his wife.
Well, bear in mind, what we know of William Wallace is mighty sketchy.
It is sketchy, but still, you know, there are heroes throughout history that stood up for their homes.
Right. And the people in power who were trying to kill those people standing up for their homes routinely referred to them as rebels, terrorists, insurgents. Shh, don't anybody tell the Freepers and the Wingnuts, but the English crown considered us in rebellion back in 1776. We were insurgents. Now, see, there goes that Bob. He's a beating on the American Revolution. Everybody, yeah.
We were insurgents, but...
We were also terrorists.
But then we became Puritans.
No, the Puritans came first. The Puritans had to be beaten down in order for the Enlightenment to take place.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, we have become Puritans since then. You're absolutely right, dear. Oh, and by the way, this is... I'm just sort of wandering around a little bit. Has anybody seen... And I really don't go in for the... You know, this was inside of entertainment, da-da-da-da-da-da, entertainment... No, I don't go in for that. But, my God, has anybody seen the latest photographs of Mel Gibson? Now, we've been talking about some pretty heavy stuff tonight. And I know that it can get a little hard from time to time. Take a break. Here's your giggle for the night. I think there's a thread about it on Democratic Underground. And by the way, a shout out to all our DU buddies. And to our pals in the Tom Hartman chat room. Go look at this new picture of Mel Gibson. Have you seen it, honey?
I prefer Blade Runner, thank you.
No. This picture, apparently Mel has in production a new movie in which he plays Saddam Hussein. Because he has a guaranteed bona fide Saddam Hussein beard going now. About, you know, I mean, real Jesus-y beard with a white stripe right down there where the soul patch would be. A little skunk stripe right down the middle of his chin. And this photograph, I saw, he's sitting there tugging on the whiskers a little bit. I think the fundamentalism has finally gotten to his head. I think he may have finally decided that he's not going to just play God in a movie. He's going to be God. This is... And when you find out who these wingers are... in real life, it ruins so many things for you. I can't watch a Mel Gibson movie. I can't watch Everybody Loves Raymond. Everybody Loves Raymond is ruined for me because of Patricia Heaton. Because she is one of those particular... She's not misguided. She's involved in the movement. She's a full-bore, head-on... Not head-on. Full-on freeper. You know, she believes that there's a cabal out there keeping her from getting her Academy Award-winning roles because conservatives aren't allowed in Hollywood. And I can't watch that show anymore.
You can't let things like that distract from something that you enjoy.
Well, I try not to, but it's happened before.
And it wasn't
Cleveland rocks.
Drew Carey.
Yeah. Hate him.
You can't hate Drew Carey.
But I do. He's a freak. He's a right wing nutcase. And I don't even want to help the. I don't want to run the risk that somehow or another I statistically wind up in the wash that makes him or Patricia Heaton or Mel Gibson a single extra dime.
So, in other words, you're saying that you couldn't find common ground at all, right?
I'm guessing they couldn't find common ground with me.
Well, you know, I'm willing to work on that kind of thing. You know how I am.
Oh, yeah, we know how you work.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, they're, ow, my knees! Cut you off at the knees and kick your butt for being short. Yeah, that's Agnes.
That is not true.
Oh, yes, it is. This from the woman who the first time got that little Ruger 357 in her hand, shot the crotch out of the silhouette bad guy. Oh, mercy. Just a little random babbling. We'll get back to real live, honest-to-God talk radio right after this break. This is Head On. You got to see this picture of this guy's beard. It's and they made fun of Al Gore for growing a beard. He looked like the guy from the brawny paper towel with the flannel shirt. See this Mel Gibson photo? Oh my God! This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Don't bash somebody's noggin in. So it's 19 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. And, you know, here it is Monday. I'm already in a high dudgeon. And who wouldn't be with a congressman who takes $2.5 million in bribes from a company hell-bent on making the security state just a little bit more intrusive? Who was a war hawk that wound up sending decent scholarly people who believed that, you know, there's a place for honor and courage and duty in the military, like Ted Westhuizen, winds up putting him into the situation where he winds up blowing his brains out, own brains out. That's heavy stuff. And I got to admit, I'm not very good with the whole Sunday afternoon NFL recap thing, and I'm guessing you guys don't want that in the first place. But sometimes you got to lighten up a little bit. So if there's a funny photograph of Mel Gibson out there, I think we should all see it and have a big laugh. So I hope you'll forgive me if it seems just a little bit schizophrenic, but it, you know, take a break here and there. And there's special message for you hybrid automobile drivers. Oh my God, this makes me crazy. You know, hybrid automobiles burning a little less fuel, making us a little less dependent on the Saudis and the Iraqis and the Yemenis and the Kuwaitis and those hybrid automobiles. And our pals, God knows I love them, the United States Chamber of Commerce. You know, the Chamber of Commerce, who hates taxes. George Bush's tax cuts may well cause Jesus Christ to come back to earth. You know, that Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that runs full-page ads in the state paper here in wild, wonderful West Virginia that says that, you know, never mind our natural beauty, never mind our roaring rivers, never mind the outdoor recreation activities that are unrivaled by any other state east of the Mississippi. We're a hellhole, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. That U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Our buddies! So, what now from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce? They've got the Toyota Prius drivers in their sights. Oh, I'm not kidding. Right here, Agnes, I promise. Taxing hybrids and other fuel-efficient cars and billing drivers for miles driven are among the approaches being suggested to avert a shortfall in money to maintain the nation's highways. Holy hell. This is from the, if they were advising the three little pigs, build the next one out of straw too. Just because he blew that one down doesn't mean he's going to have the lung power. Oh my God, what a bunch of idiots. Taxing hybrid drivers for miles that they drive.
Isn't that why they have taxis?
Huh?
Well, I mean, you get into a taxi and there's a flat rate, and then you get charged so much per mile.
Yeah, I guess we're all going to have the little counters, and everybody's going to answer to Danny DeVito now.
That sucks.
These geniuses. You know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, you had Tom DeLay out there wanting to completely rewrite the highway funding formula. So that California, Texas, Florida, those types, would get more highway money than West Virginia, where it costs about five times as much to build. Now, I don't know that it costs five times as much, but I know it costs more to build highway here than it does there, Florida, Texas. No slur on Florida or Texas, but there's not a hell of a lot of high mountains in Florida, or precious few in Texas. Yes, dear.
And soon coming to a strip mall near you, there won't be any here either.
Strip mall or strip mine? Okay, gotcha. We get the idea. Seriously. The United States Chamber of Commerce wants to tax hybrid automobile drivers, who, in their own way, could very well be among the most patriotic people in the United States. You know, our governor's still toddling around in that great big honking 5 gallons to the mile Lincoln Navigator. He could have a hybrid. He could have a Jeep Liberty with a diesel engine. Not Joe. Oh no, not Joe. So, yeah. Decisions are going to have to be made in the very near future, said Ed Mortimer, the U.S. Chamber's business lobby director of transportation infrastructure. The next highway bill is years away, and lawmakers may be loath to return to a measure that was widely criticized for being padded with thousands of special interest projects. Oh, by the way, the report also concluded revenues from all levels of government will fall $500 billion short of what is needed just to maintain pavement and bridge conditions and traffic levels through 2015, and $1.1 trillion short of what is needed to improve the nation's infrastructure.
Tax cuts is good for the economy. They gotta have the tax cuts because the economy's growing too fast. Gotta slow it down a little. Wait a minute, I done started a recession. Tax cuts is good for the country because they'll kickstart our slowed down economy. Just cut some damn taxes, will you?
These godless, motherless, soulless, Republican, sorry, seventh sons of syphilitic sea cooks screamed for tax cuts, and now that they have managed to cripple our infrastructure in the United States, well, we need to tax the hybrid drivers for driving hybrids. Jesus, I guess the hybrid drivers had better load up on cigarettes and liquor while they're at it, because that goes to the highway taxes too, doesn't it? Have a smoke. Get a little face on and go for a ride in the hybrid. Because you're a good American. Damn! Thank you, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I'll tell you what, next good idea you got, keep it to yourself, okay? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Town in the county down one morning last July. From a boring green came a sweet Colleen, and she smiled as she passed me by. She looked so sweet from her two bare feet to the sheen of her nut brown hair. Such a coaxing elf, sure I shook myself for to see I was really there.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
somewhere. Some kids just drive too fast. Wait just a minute, there's a beautiful survivor with dancers, legs, and laughing eyes. Come on, snake, it's all over now. Strap your feet in the tight, cause it's a long, sweet ride. Relax.
All right, let's make the last 25 minutes count. What do you say? 20. Okay, 20 minutes. This is Head On. The phone numbers, of course, 877-443-2366 and 304-658-3333. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Remember Jean Schmidt? Not going to let go of her either. I'm just going to chew on her like a dog on an old bone. Remember Jean Schmidt? Her little escapades? In the house from, a couple of Fridays ago. Jean Schmidt, the newest member of Congress. Jean Schmidt, my God, who makes Granny Clampett look like a sex goddess. Yeah, that Jean Schmidt. Well, do you remember how she...
A few minutes ago, yeah. I received a call from Colonel Danny Bupp, Ohio representative from the 88th District in the House of Representatives. He asked me to send Congress a message, stay the course. He also asked me to send Congressman Murtha a message that cowards cut and run, Marines never do.
That Jean Schmidt. Well, apparently some of her comments got back to... forward operating base Buka, Iraq, to one of those soldiers on the ground. Not Danny Bopp. Not Danny Bopp that Tucker Carlson and Rush Limbaugh claimed was in Iraq, but had never been nearer Iraq than Iraq. Now, her remarks got all the way back to forward operating base Buka, and Major David Grundy fired off a quick note to the Cincinnati Inquirer. He's a battalion surgeon. He's a field grade army officer. He's on his second tour to the Middle East. And he heard what she said about John Murtha, heard him call him a coward. And he said, "It is incomprehensible to me that she could launch this mean-spirited attack on a man of proven valor and prudence. Her only qualification seems to be a backing of the administration's political spin of the day." Poor Major Grundy. "It is incomprehensible to me." Poor Major Grundy. I can help Major Grundy make it comprehensible. She's a soulless, godless, motherless Republican. Therefore, it should not be incomprehensible. It's what they do. Snakes bite. Spiders bite. They're poisonous. They do great harm, some of them. Republicans make attacks on proud war veterans. It's what they do. But he does note this is an obscene and despicable personal attack on a man who has shown his heroism throughout a long life of courageous service to the armed forces during two volunteer combat tours to Vietnam, and even more by his unfailing support for the military during his 37 years as a congressman. Schmidt's attack on him is a slap in the face to the deployed troops he has cared for so long and so well, and to all who have borne arms for this country. "I say this," Major Grundy writes, "to my fellow Ohioans in the 2nd Congressional District. Let's come to our senses and be honest with ourselves. We made a grave mistake by voting her into office in the first place, instead of Marine Major Paul Hackett, a true war hero and a man with a powerful sense of duty, honor, and basic human decency. Fortunately, this is a mistake we can soon correct when we show Schmidt the door in the 2006 election." Bravo! Bravo, Major Dr. David Grundy, battalion surgeon.
So when is Hale Bopp going to go over there? I mean...
Never.
No, Carlson said that he knew all about Iraq because he was there.
No. He's never been there, ain't going to go.
But he's a Marine, right?
Oh, yes.
And cowards don't cut and run. So that means that he's going to go...
No, it doesn't. That means somebody else is going to go.
Also, Gene Schmidt was actually talking about Hale Bopp there.
Okay. Yeah. Danny the Comet Bopp. Yeah. And, I should leave that part. But Grundy's right. And remember, Gene Schmidt was neck and neck with Paul Hackett until there were voting problems in the precincts. Brad Friedman over at bradblog.com covered it extensively.
You know, here in West Virginia, Logan County used to have that problem.
Vote often?
No, I had a lot of my family from Logan, and there were names on there that had been dead for 20 years.
Well, this
they
one
finally figured that one out.
This one wasn't so much the dead voting deer. This was more a case of, the 2004 Bush election, where Gehenna, Ohio, where they had 600 and some odd or whatever registered voters and 2 or 3,000 voted for Bush. You know, that kind of problem.
Now, you know that's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, okie dokie. Uh-huh. Sure. Never mind. No, but there were voting machine irregularities. "I'm sorry, Hal, you can't vote." When Paul Hackett ran against Gene Schmidt, and she only managed to run when the troubles started. Or she only managed to win when the troubles started. And, while we've got letters from soldiers here, you might find this one interesting. I like going over to Stars and Stripes online from time to time. You really get a sense for what's going on in the minds of the people who are actually serving our country, as opposed to, you know, Donald Rumsfeld, who said, "I never advocated." This is a letter to the editor of Stars and Stripes from Captain Jeff Pirazzi of Camp Takadum, Iraq. He says, weapons of mass destruction? I'm still looking for them, and if you find any, give me a call so we can justify our presence in Iraq. We started the war based on a lie, and we'll finish it based on a lie. I say this because I'm currently serving with the logistics headquarters in the Anbar province between the cities of Fallujah and Ramadi. I am not fooled by the constant fabrication of democracy and freedom touted by our leadership at home and overseas. This deception is furthered by our armed forces' belief that we can just enter ancient Mesopotamia and tell the locals about the benefits of a legislative assembly. While our European ancestors were hanging from trees, these ancient people were writing algebra and solving quadratic equations. Now we feel compelled to strong-arm them into accepting the spoils of capitalism and laissez-faire society. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy watching Britney Spears on MTV and driving to McDonald's, but do you honestly believe that Sunnis, Shias, and Kurds want our Western ideas of entertainment and freedom imposed on them? Think again. I'm not being negative, I'm being realistic. The reality in Iraq is that the United States created a nightmare situation where one didn't exist. Yes, Saddam was an evil man who lied, cheated, and pillaged his own nation. But how was he different from dictators in Africa who commit massive crimes against humanity with little repercussion and sometimes support from the West? The bottom line, up front, bluff, to use a military acronym, is that Saddam was different because we used him as an excuse to go to war to make Americans feel good about the war on terrorism. The bluff is that our ultimate goal in 2003 was the security of Israel and the lucrative oil fields in northern and southern Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction? Call me when you find them. In the meantime, bring them on so we can get our mission accomplished and get out of this mess. Again, Captain Jeff Perazzi. You know, I guess he must be one of the ones that didn't get the memo to show up for the little Bush photo op they had that day. I'm guessing he wasn't invited. Let's go to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on.
I'm guessing that last distinguished member of the military service will not be invited even to some of those little meetings in the hangar, gatherings on the poop deck. That kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm thinking he's not going to get there and ask Rummy any embarrassing questions about up-armored vehicles or anything like that.
No, no. Boy, oh boy. You know, that, I had forgotten about that fine Tennessee National Guardsman. But just to make sure that everybody realizes what a zero, what a weasel, what a worm that Gene Schmidt is. And I like that other David suggestion that, turn the, plug in a naughty word, turned her out. You know, since, you know, that we've been, she and Bob have been going back and forth as to who said what.
It's charming, isn't it?
Yeah, he claims realizing her foot has been placed in his mouth now. He didn't want to be part of it. She says, oh, no, that's what he said. I took notes about it. But here's another great quote. I don't know if you've done, I haven't listened all night tonight, but here's a wonderful little thing, and this is a direct quote from Representative Schmidt.
Okay.
He didn't know that. He did know the congressman's name, I'll get it right in a second. He didn't know the congressman's name, but I did, says Schmidt. But neither of us knew he was a Marine. Schmidt went on to say,
oh, stop it.
I'm not kidding. Schmidt went on to say that she had not noticed the numerous allusions to Murtha's military background in newspaper, radio, and TV accounts.
Holy mackerel.
Troop withdrawal proposal. Schmidt's direct quote was, they keep us pretty busy here, she said. So now she's claiming that she just thought...
If he didn't do it, he wasn't there, and even if he did, he was only following orders.
Now she's trying to say that her little constructed whatever from, you know, Hail Bop, all that routine, she's now trying to claim that in her level of ignorance, she didn't know another representative from her state. The Cincinnati she represents is part of the same Ohio Murtha represents, right?
Last I checked.
Okay, good. So it's not all that far away. But, you know, gosh, if I'd have been elected to Congress, I mean, how many representatives does Ohio have? 10, 12, 14?
Yeah, well, but see, he's just a low-level state senator.
Not Murtha.
No. Bop.
She's claiming, oh, I know, but Bop figured into the splash she wanted to make, and the two of them had cavorted politically and you know, done dirty deeds together prior to this, right?
Oh, absolutely. They, they're part and parcel of the Ten Commandments Restoration Act. No. They're it's pledging. It's pledging. They're not soft on. It's the Pledge Restoration Act.
Oh, the pledge. Yeah, and yeah.
Lemon or regular? Yes, that was yours.
What was it? 52, 53 when they added the reference to God to the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, maybe 54. Yeah. It was done at the behest of the Knights of Columbus in the midst of the Red Scare, and we had to put God in the pledge because we knew them heathen commies weren't adding God in it because they was over there pledging just as hard as we was, but they didn't have no God in theirs.
So that means for the first 4 years in grade school, I said that it didn't have the reference to God in it.
Yeah.
And we did pretty well prior to that point in time.
Oh, stop trying to kid us, David, you godless liberal.
Exactly. Precisely.
See, you were raised with you weren't pledging with your God in your pledging, and it made you soft on pledging, and now here you are all liberal, and my God, look what's happened.
And it was the wrath of God that caused us to not do well in Korea and do even worse in Vietnam. Oh, but wait a second, we added the God reference to the pledge for Vietnam.
Yeah. And speaking of displeasing God, Did you catch the big news out of the Supreme Court today?
Uh-oh. What now?
A big hunk of rock fell off of the tablature, the pediment there at the front of the building that's got Moses and Lady Liberty and the blindfold and all. Big hunk of rock fell off of it. Now, I'm waiting for Pat Robertson just any day now, David, to declare, God has shown his displeasure with our secular nation by making rocks fall off the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, well, it'll happen. It'll happen because, you know, he wants those nice folks in Pennsylvania to realize they're doomed the next time it rains.
God could drop a rock on you too, Dover, Pennsylvania.
He may, yeah, but just think, that woman in Congress is so eager in her little red, white, and blue with the cute little stars around the waistband's outfit. You know, she's so eager to make a political splash. She doesn't even know that 30-year veteran of Congress. Isn't it 30 years he's been in Congress?
Yeah, 30 years. Is it? Yeah, yeah.
Right. Volunteered, went there. Unlike Bop, unlike Burp, whatever his name is. Unlike Colonel Burp, who can't really leave Ohio. And isn't it sweetly curious that Flumball and who the heck ever else is. Oh, yeah. From Iraq, my friends, we hear that. Mirtha's a weasel.
Yeah.
Right, and they're so clear on their facts. And
they're a beautiful bunch, aren't they? I mean, they're an absolute glory to watch.
And I am so happy. Because I heard it on the news driving home after a long, long day. I'm so glad that you made contact with Representative Duke Cunningham.
Yes.
And his nice little house and his nice little rolls and his nice little party for the daughter and the nice little... He lives on a boat, you know.
Really?
He lives on a boat that is owned by the same fella that connected him to those defense contracts.
Oh, now there's a newbie.
He lives on a boat. Well, you know, it's got to be pretty interesting. It's got to be, like, anchored in the Potomac, right?
Yeah.
How much water is there around Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Potomac's pretty much it, last I checked.
That, well...
unless he's anchored in the tidal basin, you know, or the reflecting pool.
Wouldn't it be fun, and I waited a little bit tonight. I was hoping some wingnut was going to call in and challenge you on the idea that really mattered. And it would be so interesting, you know, because I could hear one fella that was so Walmart-friendly that, you know, he wanted everybody else to go to work there but him, would have said, well, you know, that's just the way that Congress is. It's no big thing. It's gone on forever. Well, you know, should a Democrat do that? Oh, get a rope.
Yeah, sure. The tar, the feathers, yeah. We'll have all kinds of fun before the lynching.
How much money did they spend trying to tie some impropriety to Bill and Hillary through Whitewater? How many years did they work at that and get nowhere?
Well, that would be 1992 to 2000 and $70 million.
Right. All they have to show for it is a married man telling a lie about a couple of weekends, a stained blue dress, and no evidence. and nobody's dead. That's what, $70 million.
Now, wait a minute, David, or Dick Cheney will go and deliver a speech at the American Enterprise Institute, and he'll call you despicable and reprehensible.
Good. I will be an honored company, because it'll be me and the good Representative Murtha. And I'll revel in the accusation.
Well, on the one hand, you think that the wheels are really beginning to come off. On the other, I tend to think that this is just scratching the surface. We haven't even begun to plumb the depths of Republican filth, and we may not have time to.
Oh, they'll still be unraveling come the next election. And the big question is, can America, after being so bludgeoned and so numbed by the previous 6 or 7 years of them, will America wake up? Can America survive the onslaught of negative ads? Because their kind will come out and vote for them no matter what. It's all a smokescreen that hardcore right-wing religious nuttery is going to not turn out and vote for those people, do whatever they say. Because now they've got their chance to put Sammy the Vote Melito in place, and it's going to be like a light bulb on the other end of a switch. He'll go either way. The president, the neocons want him on, he's on. The neocons want him off, he's off. It's just Clarence Thomas light.
Well, the thing is, it'll take, once you get Sammy Bad Breath on there, it'll take a couple of years for a case to percolate its way up where he gets to do his dirty deed with Roe v. Wade. What the Republicans are praying for is that hasn't happened by 2006, and that it's close enough by 2008 to get the mouth breathers out to the polls.
Well, it is their number one. It is their number one motivational tool. And what's really interesting is they will never, ever completely take Roe v. Wade off the books. That'll never happen.
Well, no, it is assured. Their strategy and the way the decision was written assures that we will never be rid of the morally bankrupt, ethically dead right-to-life movement, because Roe v. Wade being overturned would merely send the issue back to the states.
Well, they'll never take it off the books because of two reasons. They would lose their great motivational tool for all the people that refuse to think, and they can do what they want to do without taking it off the book.
Well,
they can so strip it and so gut it that it'll be useless.
Well, that's true. But if you think about all the statewide referendums that they used in 2004, David, to get the snake handlers out, all those defense of marriage amendments in all those little redneck states, hither, thither, and yon, they'll have 50 of those if they can get Roe overturned and sent back to the states. And they'll get to do it every election cycle.
Well, it may be, but I really think most of America wants Roe preserved.
Oh, America does. There's no doubt. The statistics certainly show like 70%.
That's why I think they'll leave it there as a straw target. They will leave it there once they have made it useless. You'll only be able to have freedom of choice after you've informed your dead father and gotten his permission in writing, along with the husband that beat you and the person that raped you. Once you have those three signatures in place, then we can discuss freedom of choice as to what to do with your own body.
Sad but true.
That they've already done a lot of that, and I think more of that is on the way. But then they can turn to non-thinking, quite asleep Americans that, well, Roe v. Wade's still in place, gee whiz, we're not radical. Just because that 25-year-old woman needs her husband's permission after he beat her senseless to consult someone about that sort of thing, there's the problem. Sammy's already voted that way, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
In favor of strip-searching 10-year-olds.
Yeah, little girls.
There we are.
He's a prince. He's an absolute prince, isn't he?
Sweet guy. Well, I'm sure your Steeler Jones is about to take over.
I got to go in and check him out. That's why we haven't heard from Wayne tonight.
And I tell you what, if your Mounties don't blow the South Florida you know, WizKids or whoever the heck they are.
The Bulls. The Bulls.
The Bulls. All right. All of you graduates of the University of South Florida, no offense intended there. But anyway, the Mounties better really take great care of them, and then they better be closed.
Well,
lots of nationwide respect. Boy, it's not necessarily the way to bet it that they're going to beat a Georgia or beat an LSU, but it sure is going to be great to see them in a big bowl.
I think I'd rather see them against Georgia, simply because there are people working for LSU who know our system. On the other hand, though, you know, we've got the Big East locked up now, David, and we could lose to South Florida. It would be humiliating, but we own the Big East now. And it looks like we're going to the Sugar Bowl. I'd rather play Penn State, but that's me.
Oh, what a great matchup that would be. No, I'm talking about for the long-term prestige.
Oh, well, yeah.
University, they must dispatch University of South Florida.
Yeah.
They've got to just take care of them and make it look very convincing.
Well, it goes down Saturday. I'm hearing we may not even have TV for it, and that's very upsetting.
Oh.
That means I have to listen to the coal whores on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got to hit it, David. Thanks so much for calling.
Thanks, Bob.
Later. All right. Great show tonight, everybody. Thanks in whatever way you managed to help make it better. You make it better just sitting there and listening, and I appreciate that. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced by Brian Reznor. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream and the archives, and what a job he does. The show, of course, is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And as ever, more than anything else, RMR, it's all for you.